This is the FM Gold channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on Venezuela NAM Summit. The participants are Ashok Sajjanhar, former diplomat, and Simran Sodhi, assistant editor, The Tribune.
The non-aligned movement, which just took place in the country of Venezuela. Vice President Hamid Ansari represented India at this international forum. Ambassador Sajjanhar, how do you look at the NAM movement today?
The genesis of the non-aligned movement was as a result of the two blocs during the Cold War era. So even before the first meeting of the non-aligned movement was held in Belgrade in 1961 by Yugoslavia. Before that, the meeting in Bandung had taken place in Indonesia, in which the five principles on which the non-aligned movement was based. And it was Pandit Nehru and V.K. Krishnamenon who had for the first time used the expression non-alignment in 1953 and 54. And yes, there were questions that were asked that once there was an end to the Cold War in 1991 with the disintegration of the Soviet Union, then what is the rationale of the existence of the non-aligned movement? And in fact, since that time, non-aligned movement has been trying to find a role for itself. So earlier it was fighting against colonialism, it was fighting against racism, it was fighting against apartheid, it was fighting against the developed countries and their imperialism on developing countries. But after the end of the Cold War, then the focus of the movement has to change. And some people said that maybe it is economic cooperation and economic collaboration so that the economic conditions of citizens of the developing countries, that could improve. So yes, you are right that the fundamental rationale and objectives have changed, but I think still it continues to be relevant. Let me also mention that there have been other organizations. For instance, NATO was a product of the Cold War, but that did not cease to exist after the disintegration of the Soviet Union.
India has been actively pushing that we need a reform of especially the United Nations Security Council. And as Vice President Ansari, he spoke at the summit and he has raised the question that today we need to ask whether an organization designed in 1945 with just 51 members is really appropriate to serve the needs of an international community that now comprises 193 independent sovereign states. My question to you is that raising this question that the UN needs reforms, we have been doing this at various international forums and now raising it at NAM. Do you think NAM can come together and push the United Nations for a reform, because the UN General Assembly session is also going to follow pretty soon? Can, realistically speaking, can NAM as an organization push for UN reforms?
Well, let me put it this way. I think the whole world, the international community, maybe all the 193 nations of the United Nations, they acknowledge and they accept that the United Nations needs change, because when it was established, as the Honorable Vice President himself has mentioned, that it cannot really respond effectively to the needs and demands of the international community. At that time, there were only 51 countries. Today, there are 193 countries. So I think the need of reform is accepted and acknowledged. The question is, how do you take this reform forward? And in that context, well, the non-aligned movement is also not a united house. It is a divided house. And while discussions have been going on, actually in 2005 itself, the United Nations at the General Assembly, it had been acknowledged, it had been accepted that many changes need to take place, particularly in the size and the structure and the composition of the United Nations Security Council. And you would recall that during the 70th session of the UN General Assembly last September, just before the end of the session, the Kutesa report was adopted, and it was hoped that during the 70th General Assembly session it would move forward. But obviously there are vested interests of some countries who do not wish for the Security Council to be expanded, to be reformed, and they have been dragging their feet. So to respond to your question, well, I think we need to raise this subject at every fora that we possibly can, and so that we try to tell the international community as to how important this issue is to us, and also that India has all the qualifications of becoming permanent member of the United Nations Security Council. Whether organizations like NAM will be able to take us forward, I think that is a moot point.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, moving on to the next important issue that India has raised at the summit, and that is the issue of counter-terrorism. And we have seen what happened yesterday in our own backyard. And India is pushing for the world community globally to recognize that terrorism is no longer a regional issue, it's a global issue. And India is a victim, but the way terrorism is spreading, there is hardly any country today in the world which can say that we are not affected by terrorism one way or the other. My question to you is that as India has pushed and as our Vice President has said that counter-terrorism has to be a top priority for NAM. One, do you think the nation states of NAM can come together and actually push counter-terrorism at the top of its priorities? But my second question would be, if they do that, how do you deal with Pakistan, which is also there?
I think your second question really in some way responds to the first query that you have made, that there are again vested interests. For instance, there are such a large number of examples that we can see. We are talking about a global action against terror. Now, you know that India has, since the last many, not years, but even decades, there has been a proposal from India for a comprehensive UN Convention on Terrorism. And we have really not been able to take that forward because there is no agreement on definition of terror per se in that. Because there are some countries who try to divide terrorists between good terrorists and bad terrorists. And that is the category in which Pakistan also falls. So when you're talking about a global response, then even looking at a regional response to terror, we find that there are problems. Because very recently we had the visit of the Honorable President of Afghanistan, Ashraf Ghani. And here he has said that the perpetrator of terrorist crimes in Afghanistan, basically they are given sanctuary and they are given training and they are funded and financed by Pakistan. Similar is the experience in India. And similar is the experience also in Bangladesh. If you remember the attack that took place in Dhaka very recently, then all the perpetrators of that attack, Bangladesh authorities had alleged that they were trained by the inter-services intelligence of Pakistan. So in a small group of region of South Asia, we find that Pakistan has emerged as the single source of epicenter of terror. And then there are countries who, for political reasons, for instance, we saw when we went to the United Nations to designate Masood Azhar and also before that Zakir Rahman Lakhvi under 1267 resolution of the United Nations to designate them as terrorists, then China put a technical hold because it feels that its political relations and its strategic partnership with Pakistan is more valuable to it than the fight against terror. And that is why when the Prime Minister met Xi Jinping, the Chinese President, at Hangzhou for the G20 summit, he urged China that they should not look at terrorism through the prism of politics.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, taking the discussion on counter-terrorism forward, because that is an issue which is engaging India at the moment, and the recent attack in Uri has again highlighted the need for India to do something, and especially we have to find a way of making the global community aware that Pakistan is responsible and how do you deal with it. My question is, if we tie it up to the NAM summit, there also the problem that India has encountered is that India tried to pass a resolution on counter-terrorism, but since the resolutions in NAM are based on total consensus, one country blocked it, and that one country is obviously Pakistan. And as you were mentioning before, that when India tried to get Masood Azhar, for example, designated as a terrorist in the UN, then you have China coming to the defense of Pakistan. My question is, what is the way out for India? It's almost like a catch-22 situation for us.
No, it is a catch-22 situation. It is very frustrating. I accept that. But I think that we need to continue to apply as much international global pressure upon Pakistan as we possibly can. And this is true whether it is fora like NAM, whether it is fora like G20 where the Honorable Prime Minister had spoken, whether it is the East Asia Summit in Vientiane in Laos, whether it was an India-ASEAN Summit. So I think at every fora we have to bring out the nefarious activities and tactics of Pakistan in supporting terrorism and appeal to the international community, to the global powers, because terrorism does not differentiate between countries. And as you have very correctly said yourself, there is no single country that is not being adversely impacted upon by the forces of terror. Whether it was Paris, whether it was Turkey, whether it is Spain, whether it is London, United States, you name it. And of course, we have been affected by the terror coming in from Pakistan. So I think we need to continue to sensitize. I think countries are aware of this, but what the Prime Minister said in Hangzhou for the G20 is we need to ensure that these countries are isolated and sanctioned and not rewarded. So this is the approach we need to continue to follow while individually strengthening ourselves and ensuring that such terrorist attacks do not take place on our soil.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, we also saw the Vice President meet the Iranian leader in the island of Margarita where the summit is being held. And my question to you is that as India has reached out to Iran, we had the Chabahar Port Agreement, and India-Iran joining hands, especially given the background of the NAM summit, do you think this somehow strengthens India's regional hold that we are trying to bypass Pakistan? And the background, of course, is NAM, because Iranian leaders have spoken even in Venezuela that NAM supported them when they had sanctions from the West. So the organization did support Iran. It has played its role well. And now we find that India and Iranian leaders are meeting there. They're kind of regionally maybe getting together and maybe finding a way to bypass Pakistan. Would you agree with that?
I don't think we really need to depend only on fora like NAM to come together with Iran. Iran is a part of our extended neighborhood. It is our civilizational partner. But still coming back to that, your first question that you had about the relevance of NAM. And that is where I'll come back, that it provides an excellent opportunity to the leaders of the 120 countries who are present there to meet each other, to discuss with each other issues of bilateral interest, of global concern. And that is, I think, what the Honorable Vice President and President Rouhani of Iran have done. And of course, the President of Iran was there because they are the chair now and they handed over the chair to Venezuela. So it is a very good forum of that nature which provides an opportunity to the leaders of different countries to come together and to share their views and thoughts and ideas on global issues.
Ambassador Sajjanhar, how do you look at the future of the non-aligned movement?
Well, number one, I will not agree either that it is a unipolar world or a bipolar world. I think it's a multipolar world. And there are other poles. There is Japan, there is Russia. India also is one of the very important, significant poles. The relevance of NAM in that sense, that is reflected in the fact that less than 10 heads of state or government participated in the meeting in Venezuela, while more than 30 leaders, heads of state and government, participated in the meeting in Tehran in 2012. But there are so many issues that confront the international community today, and we have discussed some of them, whether it is the reform of the United Nations, whether it is terrorism, whether it is ensuring peace, it is ensuring sustainable development, it is climate change. There are so many issues that confront the international community, and I think NAM can play a useful role in dealing with these issues.
And with these thoughts, we bring the discussion to an end. Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Venezuela NAM Summit. The participants were Ashok Sajjanhar, former diplomat, and Simran Sodhi, assistant editor, The Tribune. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.